It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
See, you make toast. I make art.
Hello there, film lovers. That's awesome. Welcome to Film Sociology. Let me do the intro first, and then we can do it. A film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. Did you put that on like a five-minute loop?
It's running out.
Okay. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which you can go check out at...
Filmsociology.tumblr.com.
The man who loves war, the band.
Yes, if just you're not down much, with war, there's something wrong.
Just as much as I do, Kobe Slagle.
Hello, hello.
And, of course, that song is used brilliantly in Boogie Nights, and we have enough people here for the Boogie Nights pool party. Start thinking about which characters you are. Hello, Bert. I every now and then we just get a vicious circle of guests in, and it's not called double triple booking. It's called the more the merrier. So let me start over. We got Nigel, co-host of Hammer and Nigel. I was on his show last week, and now he is returning the favor. How are you, sir?
I just want to let people know that if people listen to our interview today and think, why did Matt have this guy Nigel on? It wasn't. I pretty much forced myself upon your show because I had such a good time on our podcast talking movies with you last week.
Yes.
I didn't know the show was on public radio until we had you on.
We don't tell public radio the show is on public radio.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that like a?
It's like Klinger having a radio show, and finally Colonel Blake finds out, huh? What?
So if fans of yours would like to go hear maybe a different side of Matt Soze, go to hammerandnigel.com. The podcast from last week, the pre-Oscar show, was unbelievable. I had a blast, and I love talking movies. And,
well, Nigel, thank you. Although I will correct you. You do hear what I hear here. There's just less booze and language, which I didn't say.
Booze,
that's your guys.
Not booze as in jeers, but booze as in alcohol.
Both,
right?
Really. So good to have you here.
Cool. I'm fired up.
And sitting over next is my buddy Jules Riker. Hello, love.
Hello, Mr. Soze. How are you doing today?
Ball State radio money.
Well
represented here. And you are here because you're doing a presenting. This is like Martin Scorsese presents Belle de Jour.
You got it.
Tell us why you're here with your lovely guest.
Certainly. We are promoting a fabulous art exhibition tonight at the Earth House Collective, and it's called...
Estilos de Mosaico.
Did you get that?
No. Say it again. Say it again louder.
Estilos de Mosaico.
Thank you.
Which means?
Mosaic of styles.
Yes, mosaic of styles.
Not tiles.
Not tiles, okay. But styles. And there's three generations. And this is Thais here with us today and her mother, Carolina. And she has some fabulous portraiture. If you're a fan of Andy Warhol, you'll be a fan of Thais. She's doing an homage to James Dean, Axl Rose, Michael Jackson, and some other Indiana.
And I heard about that you made the Axl Rose piece, but we're not going to see it until at least a 3.5 hour delay until it's good and ready to be shown. I did that joke last week on your show.
It went over very
well. Thank you. So, and last but definitely not least, a man that we run back as far as 2002.
Yeah, we do.
Back in our television days. Yeah. You are the co-host, the dashing tall one of Indie Style, Tracy Forner. How are you, friend?
I'm well. It's good to finally do this. It's been quite some time.
Yes, I'm going to pleasantly bust your chops for a little
bit.
By
all means.
I have asked Tracy more than any other person on the planet, that includes Christina Hendricks, to be on this show. And of course, you know, when you try to book guests on a show, you know, there's timing and there's this and there's that. And life has a way of getting in the way of, you know, a quality HD2 radio. It happens sometimes. But it just seemed like it was like Charlie Sheen in Wall Street. And you know, I'm trying to bag the big elephant that is.
Thank you for the cigars, by the way.
That's right. So
wait, you're Charlie Sheen and he's Greco.
That's
Gecko or
that
whatever.
That means he's married to Sean Young. That's
nice.
Not good.
Oh
so.
No, not well. Back then it was.
Back then,
Sean Young was beautiful. Back then,
that was good.
She was unbelievable.
Good, she busted an Oscar party the other night.
Well, and then she got busted.
She got arrested.
Or,
yeah,
so.
That's what it was.
But because I'm a part time co-host. I'm a full time. Father of three.
Of course.
So, and so we'd have these Facebook exchanges, Mr. Sosi and I, and they start off really pleasant and long, and then it got to
Friday.
He's like, Friday? Nope. And then the next week, Friday? Nope.
So
Friday,
so,
I'll check. Nope.
No. So that being said, I want to share with everybody some of the people I was able to get on easier than the man that works two blocks from me.
Away.
Kobe, hit it.
This is Connie Nielsen. I am on film sociology at WFYI Indianapolis.
Hey, this is Doug Jones, and you're listening to Film Sociology on WFYI.
Hi, I'm F. Murray Abraham. You're listening to Film Sociology on WFYI Indianapolis.
Hello, I'm Nicholas Smith. You're listening to Film Sociology.
Hi, I'm Robert Irvine, and you're listening to Film Sociology, WFI in Indianapolis.
This is Sammy Terry being terrorized with you, with Film Sociology. Have many pleasant nightmares.
This is Peter Bogdanovich, and you're listening to Film Sociology on WFYI Radio.
My name is Angelo Pizzo, and I'm listening to Film Sociology.
Hi, I'm Netta Ulibi, and you're listening to Film Sociology on WFYI Indianapolis.
Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
Hey, everyone. This is Tommy Wiseau, and you're listening now to Film Sociology at the WFYI Indianapolis.
Okay, so let's review.
Oh, my God.
Who is easier to get on than Tracy Forner, my buddy? An Academy Award-winning actor, Food Network personality, who you've also interviewed, to be fair.
Yeah. The Tommy Wiseau,
NPR correspondent, dead guy, a ghoul, you know, who came from the dead.
Yeah.
An auteur director who got to see Cybill Shepherd naked. A woman that we both separately thought about while watching The Devil's Advocate. Yes, I did ask her about that.
Wait, is that who that was?
Connie Nielsen? Oh, yeah. Oh, and Gladiator.
Wow. Okay.
Gladiator. Mr. Rumble from Are You Being Served? Let's see, the writer of Hoosiers.
Oh, my God.
You know, this says a lot about my career because Matt literally texted me 15 minutes ago and said, "You want to be on the show?" I'm like, "Yeah, let's go." my radio career.
So no, I am so glad you're finally
wander up from my place
because now I don't know who's gonna be the hardest. It's like being second behind Jordan in scoring. It's
the great thing is I haven't seen a movie that isn't animated, and I don't know.
And that's okay because we'll get to that. We will get to that.
I hear that happens. I got a 2-month-old at home.
Changes.
I got a 2-month-old at home, and I hear the animated stuff starts to come along in a
few
years.
You can still control what they watch.
Yeah,
that's a key. When they start to tell you what they want to watch, you better hope it's good.
Well, and you start becoming even more of a snob based on the fact that once you need childcare because you want to go see a movie, you'll start factoring in that it's not going to be the cost of a ticket anymore. It's going to be however much money just to walk out the door. So is this movie not just worth my time and the money for the ticket, but to have some other person watch I mean, it's really is
point.
A fact. Things,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised the things that I let slip just to DVD because
I got a buddy. I got a buddy of mine. His name's Dustin. He's got a 10-year-old and a 9-year-old, and all he does anymore. He's my age.
Yeah.
All he does anymore. He's telling me this weekend I'm going to go see The Lorax.
Oh yes, which you can hear reviewed after this show on Fresh Air here on WFYHC2. But Tracy brings up a great point because on this show you get to hear what is new in theaters, what's new and old on DVD, and then we'll open it up and if we have time, we'll talk about what we've watched, whether it's new or old, or what films we've had to watch every day for 2 months straight because of children. I've been there,
yeah.
So we've all been there. So that being said. It's the week after the Oscars, and look, everything's cool. Everything's fine. I think the world – wait a minute. I can still hear Fox News griping that a French black-and-white silent foreign film won Best Picture. Great. And now we're going to talk about a film from Iran, which also won Best Foreign Film, and that's A Separation. And this is one. It was up for Best Foreign Film and won. It was also up for Best Screenplay. And it's about a couple who are having marital troubles. She wants to get a divorce. She wants to leave the country. He does not. He wants to take care of his ailing father. But there's just this one little conflict besides the fact that they don't love each other. They live in Iran. So here's the trailer.
برای اینکه ایشون نمیخواد با من بیاد.
من پدرمو نمیتونم ول کنم.
پدر ایشون آلزایمر. اون میفهمه که تو پسرشی.
من که میفهمم اون پدرمه.
من الان تکلیفم چی میشه آقا؟
هیچی. بفهم سر زندگیتون.
خداحافظ.
برای نگهداری پدرم میخوام مزاحمتون بشم که چیه؟ بابا داشت میمرد من رسیدم.
سلام.
میگه بیا برو بیا برو بیا برو
داشت من ندارم.
تا بعدم یه زن حامله رو اینطوری از خونش میندازیم.
بابا نمیدونستم حامله.
چی کارش کردیم اگه
چیزی بیدونم بتونی توضیح بدم
زنم
کتک زده که بچهش افتاده مرده دیگه
بلشون ندادم
تو دروغ گفتی
شوهرت بگو یه کاری نکنم من دیوونش هم خودم رو بدبخ کنم
اگه فردا زد تو راه مدرسه بچه تو کشتی
میگه چی کار کنم شبانه با تو جمع کنم بریم خارج
اتهامت قتله
مگه تو نکنی جدی نیست
جدی شد
Okay, so one of the benefits of winning an Academy Award is that you get a film that actually opens in Indianapolis. Indianapolis has become better at getting these films. Of course, there is a certain theater on the north side that will probably carry this. And guess what? Say what you will about the Art House Theater, they don't bring the 2-month-old babies, nor do they text or yell at the screen.
And you can get served there, too, I believe, right? Is that correct?
You're talking about food and drink, right?
Yes.
Yes.
This not a subpoena.
This isn't
not...
too... Yeah, it's not a subpoena.
I'm talking about booze.
Yes, yeah, so you can get...
I have a feeling I have to consume inordinate amounts of alcohol to watch that movie.
Now, Nigel, yes, you can leave your flask at home when you go see this film because there's booze right there. But yes, Tracy talks about you have to pick out the time and the date and the money. So, you know, all of that so you can go see a fine Iranian drama about divorce.
Well...
That's a date film.
Exactly. But for me, I think the Oscars have sort of changed maybe just as I've gone older because I used to use it as a means to reinforce my opinions about what I thought was, and now more so because things get regionalized and they don't get full national exposure, I think it is becoming just as much a, people are going to see this, it has an opportunity now. There's the right. The aftermath of the Oscars versus it had its early release and it had its run. And
exactly.
It's, you know, that sort of thing.
Now, of course, Nigel, on your show, you called it the gay man's Super Bowl. We think of it as the Film Geek's Final Four.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Because we have counter theories and theories.
What did you think of the actual program last Sunday because I think they really missed an opportunity having Eddie Murphy and who's a
Brett Ratner.
Brett Ratner.
And, yeah, well, there was issues with Mr. Ratner that he said some things in public that he really
I heard Brett Ratner's interview on Howard Stern, and I guess I could maybe see a little bit why the Oscars would get a little fretty,
so.
But they
and
missed a real opportunity because the Oscars were a snore.
Well, amen. It's not so much of a snore for me because it's the only award show I watch. I watch the Tonys every now and then. But for watching the Academy Awards, and I'll get to my review of Separation in a bit, watching it is kind of like track and field in the 1950s. You're never going to get this thing under 3 hours.
That's right.
Never, 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 never. Because it's locked in, and as soon as it's over, like ABC, they go right into Jimmy Kimmel. Everybody else goes into... their news, you know, Angela Buckman is waiting, you know, tapping at her watch, wondering, you know, chop, chop, let's keep it up, Billy. No, she's not really doing that. But it's there. It's not going to get any shorter. And for me, it's like the Super Bowl where I don't care. Just make me laugh a little bit at the beginning. Give me the death montage. Make sure all the people are supposed to be in the death montage.
Yep.
I don't need Cirque du Soleil. I don't care who's on the red carpet. We watch, my daughter and I, she's 10, and she agreed, which is why I love her, that we watched Dr. No right up until the awards ceremony. So I don't. Why would I want to watch the red carpet when I can watch 1961 Ursula Andress?
Well, you did miss Sacha Baron Cohen dumping Kim Jong-il's ashes all over Ryan Seacrest.
No, I was able to see that on YouTube, which is fine. And by the way, he's in Hugo. Let the guy in. Whatever. So, yeah, is it stuffy? Sure. But it's the only one I watch, and it's 3 hours out of my life. And, well, I've sat through far worse, you know, as far as lost time.
I guess I'm just saying I don't care how long it is. Just make it interesting. And I thought Billy Crystal was kind of just a retread.
It is, because they needed somebody. So we got to get that 19.
They went reliable. They went very reliable.
Very good.
So,
it wasn't recognizable to me.
We just had work
I
done.
Tell. I know. I could tell.
Did you say Billy Crystal wasn't recognizable?
Not to me.
You didn't...
I was like, I mean, I knew it was him, but I was like, wow. Wow. It's been a while, Billy.
The reason it didn't bother me was because I like looking back at the old, you know, you hear the stories about before it was televised.
Right.
When it was an hour and 40 minutes and people were eating and their dishes clanging while they're handing out awards, and that Jerry Lewis has to basically improv for 20 minutes to get it to 2 hours. So I looked at Billy Crystal. I agree, it was real tame, especially compared to like an Eddie Murphy. But I looked at that as this is a flavor of how it was. It was, how many times did Bob Hope do it?
Yeah.
I mean, it was
years. And that was the thing.
Just
I think a lot of people are going to have to realize, and I don't know if Crystal's going to do it again, but I think those of us who are older than I, the days of Bob Hope and Johnny Carson, and even Billy Crystal, I think they're done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know somebody that's going to be able to pick it up and run with it for the next 10 to 12 years. And by the way, there's always going to be somebody upset because they hired somebody to do their job. Jon Stewart, Ellen DeGeneres, Whoopi Goldberg. What did you expect? James Franco and Anne Hathaway. What did you expect when you hire these people? To not do what they do best? I mean, you know, and Crystal was the same way. We were getting Catskill jokes from the 80s.
They were. Yes,
I was waiting for him to turn into soap. But
I was just disappointed because Eddie Murphy's kind of just sort of an enigma to me. You don't see a lot of him in the media other than the movies he does.
Enigma's a nice name for him.
And I think it just would have been fun to see him out there on stage doing essentially stand-up again, which he doesn't do anymore. I'm not saying he would have been doing a stand-up comedy routine. I think I would have liked to have seen that much more than Billy Crystal.
A slightly dangerous Eddie Murphy. There's an entire generation that just thinks he's the new Bill Cosby
the
right. family films. He does Doolittle, and he's
and
a donkey.
Pluto Nash.
Pluto Nash.
He looks great, too.
It's like the guy has got some of the best stand-up ever done, and it would have been, I think, huge. But
you know what? And the Cubs should have played the Tigers in '84. Oh well. But let's wish in one hand, and let's get back to Separation. Okay. One of the things that really works for me with this film is one. I'm starting to get a little persnickety about the category foreign film because it's United States and everybody else. Really? Okay, fine. That's why I thought it was a cool thing that A Separation got a screenplay nomination. So it's not just locked into foreign film ghetto, so to speak. Oh, I'm sorry, Gulag. Is that better
Gulag.
For you? You all right with? Is that fine with? But what a foreign film should have a universal story. This has a universal story. Now, on the flip side, as I said, one of the biggest adversaries in this couple's life is the country itself. There's a couple of scenes where they are in front of – he's not a judge. He's not a politician. He's sort of a police officer. But it's a guy in a white shirt looking down at papers while these two people and the lives that they had together and are trying to separate from are falling apart. And this guy barely even looks up. And this is a guy with one swift pen or one swift motion – could lock you up for the rest of your life. And I know, are you?
No, it's just
refill the flask.
The way you're describing it, these kinds of movies. I mean, is there oppression in the movie? I haven't seen the movie, but there's definitely you see oppression.
Not necessarily. No, you don't see the juntas running in and taking over things.
Okay.
It's this couple. There's an 11-year-old daughter. There's also a subplot involving a housekeeper and how she handles things around the house and how their lives start to intertwine in a housekeeper's husband. It's not an Altman film when it comes to intertwining stories, but it's all connected, and this is something that could happen anywhere. But on the flip side, because she wants to leave the country because of where it is, and because he is devoted to his father, who is in the near last stages of Alzheimer's, I mean, it's gut-wrenching to watch, but it's really, really well made nonetheless. Now, if this is date night for you, I say go for it. But not a first date film, by the way.
Sure.
We'll get to first date films later on, but I'm glad it's here. Go check it out. It's well worth watching. It's well worth paying full price. You don't need the matinee tickets for this one. You got the.
Is it worth getting a babysitter for?
Do you need one?
Well, I'm.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
How's that?
Here
now play a response.
Yes.
Okay. A few other notes. Yeah. If you have kids, The Lorax is opening. Which
don't get me started on that.
Apparently, there's. Wow, he hasn't even seen it.
No.
But it has Zac Efron and Taylor Swift's voice and Danny DeVito and it's got Seuss elements to it, apparently.
I guarantee you read this article, an interview a while back on AV Club. They interviewed a voice actor.
Yes.
And the trend of Hollywood that you have to have famous people voice things.
As opposed to pro voices.
Professional. And as far as The Lorax goes, having not seen it, but having seen what Zac Efron dropped on the red carpet, did you hear that story?
I did.
No.
Oh, a cigarette, yeah. No.
Yes,
that's not a
it was something that if I had more of, I wouldn't require a sitter to go to the movie. How's that for him?
Anyway.
I fully believe Danny DeVito as a Lorax-type character. I buy that because the man is funny. He's proven himself over the years. Taylor Swift is not necessary. There's some female voice actress out there.
But she was in Soul Surfer.
Because...
I watched that all the way through, by the way, a couple weeks ago.
You watched Soul Surfer with the great surfing parents Helen Hunt and Dennis Quaid?
Yes, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that's...
No, that's fine.
But
no,
do you know how many little girls love Taylor Swift and will go see that movie because
I've got
Taylor
a 12-year-old
Swift
who asked me, why is she in that? It doesn't make any sense at
because,
all.
Oh, wow. You know why? Because Crossroads was already made.
Oh,
you brought it up. I brought
I'm
it up.
Ashamed to say
you
I
did bring
it
up.
Yeah, I did. Also out this opening this weekend is Thin Ice, which is a crime drama comedy, I should say, with Greg Kinnear, Billy Crudup, and Alan Arkin.
Oh wow!
And Project X. No, this is not a remake of the Matthew Broderick Helen Hunt monkey film. This
the monkey flies. They're flying jets in that movie, right? Back in the 80s,
something like that.
Yeah.
No, that's Top Gun.
Oh,
and less. And no, I'm not going there. That very manly soundtrack of Kenny Loggins in Berlin.
Oh, yeah.
But also Project X, which is about finding watch the oil there, Tracy. wingman comment. But this is, high school seniors throwing a birthday party, and it's supposed to look like it's actually happening, even though it's not a found footage comedy.
It looks funny. It looks like the kind of movie where, 10 years ago I would have popped it in on a Friday night and we would have started...
I'm starting to review films like that. I'm like, boy, I would have thought this was funny 20 years ago. The Hangover?
Like,
yeah.
Is it like Superbad meets Cloverfield?
It sounds like it.
I saw that in one of the...
Because if it's a...
Yeah, that's what... I think that it says something like that, real similar to that on one of the trailers.
Where it's just got to look like it all happened by accident, but...
Is there a giant... Now, if it's the South Park one, it would be giant bunnies or gerbils dressed like bees. Wow, South Park audience. All right, so let's take a breather, and we'll talk about what's new on DVD and Blu-ray. I think we might just do one break, Kobe.
Now you're up my alley there.
Yeah, because come on home.
Exactly.
Now, do you have a movie buying account that they've jacked up the prices 800%? Or
I'm still quite old school on getting movies. Like I don't.
You have one near your house?
I don't do a Netflix thing.
Good for
I do,
you.
I go to a box, and I go to a store that has people, and I still have got... I have three functioning VHS machines at my house. Wow.
And they all blink noon.
A four-year-old can put a VHS tape in, and it will start. And that's all you have to do. A DVD has to go in and go through screens and languages and ratios and whatever.
That's scratched. That's what the 10-year-old is for.
Ka-chung.
Yeah. All right, let's take a short break, and we'll get into DVDs and Blu-ray. You're listening, and VHS. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Anything about either one of them.
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open a video store.
Blockbuster Video. Wow, what a difference.
Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Thank you, Wesley.
Yes, thank you, Wesley Willis. May he rest in peace. We don't have enough Wesley Willis in our airwaves.
No,
we don't. But anyway, big weekend. We got Wine Fest. As soon as the show is over, we got a hot tail to the Indiana Roof Ballroom, Kobe and I.
I'll be selling raffle tickets.
I'll be an ornament. I'm just there to shake hands and test wines and wait for Miss Associate to pick me up. So,
that's awesome. You get a ride?
Yes, I do.
Perfect.
Oh, yes.
Nothing better than going somewhere where there's going to be a lot of wine.
And a lot
drinking for free and then getting a ride home.
Yeah. That's right. So, you know, when she picks me up, I'm going to tell her how much. It's like John Voight in Midnight Cowboy. Not that scene in Midnight Cowboy, Tracy.
No.
Anyway, Nigel, Tracy, Jules,
hey.
And Thais and Caroline, thank you for hanging out with us. We'll plug everybody's stuff in a little bit. Also, next weekend at Scottish Rite Cathedral, I'll be directing the Neil Simon comedy Rumors. So if you want tickets, you can call 262-3100. Plenty of seats. It seats 1,000, folks. So come on out. And you don't have to be over the age of 80 to go inside Scottish Rite Cathedral. So So be there for that. It'll be a lot of fun. Okay. New on DVD and Blu-ray is a film. Speaking of Academy Awards and Academy Award winners, this one gets the benefit of coming out on DVD and Blu-ray 2 days after the awards ceremony. And good for them, Martin Scorsese's Hugo, which I remember describing as a really beautifully well-shot infomercial for the AFI and film restoration. The first half, you have the kid stuck in the who lives in the clock tower of the train station, the French train station with all those English actors, you know, those great French thespians, Sacha Baron Cohen, Ben Kingsley, and the girl from Kick-Ass. And then then we find out more about Ben Kingsley's character and how he was at one time a young hot filmmaker. And this is where it becomes Scorsese's tribute to the silent movies, stuff that he watched when he was a sickly kid in New York City. And I'm stealing a term from my colleague at Nouveau, Ed Johnsonat, who said about a different film. But when it comes to the message, you're not getting hit over the head with an anvil. It's more like a cardboard tube.
Okay.
Is when it comes to the message about saving old films, film restoration, old silent movies, which I'm all for. Obviously, a lot of people are because the artist won Best Picture this year. It's not good for me to say called it. Because everybody called it, but
no, you did. That was you. You made some killer predictions on our
my
show.
My killer prediction was Meryl Streep. I got Meryl Streep and I got Woody Allen correct for screenplay. So that's anyway. But Hugo is out on DVD. It was also one of two films worth watching in 3D in 2011. It was this one and the Werner Herzog documentary Cave of Forgotten Dreams. And by the way, I want Werner Herzog to host the Academy Awards next year. The two favorite petitions I want to see online. Well, then what actually did happen was somebody's trying to get Weird Al to play the Super Bowl halftime show.
I've seen that, yeah.
I'm for that.
I am too.
If you're going to do that, I want Werner Herzog to host the Academy Awards. And if you get a good chance, it's not actually him, but there's some YouTube clips of somebody imitating Werner Herzog reading Winnie the Pooh, Madeline,
yeah,
Where's Waldo, The Night Before Christmas. It's fantastic.
Now, what? It's a documentary about the cave.
This was Herzog had made a documentary about. They had discovered what is the oldest recorded drawings.
Okay, yeah,
known
I saw a preview for that.
South of France.
It looks amazing.
And I love Herzog's narration, his voiceovers. I want him to do pledge breaks here at the station, along with Tommy Wiseau, Charles Barkley, Shaq. Who else did we add to that? Bill Walton.
Yeah, Bill Walton.
Oh,
Bill
my
Walton.
God.
This pledge show is unbelievable.
Where's your pledge card? We're out of tote bags. You're just going to have to.
Mine is made of hemp.
Exactly. Greatest coffee mug in the world.
Coach Wooden didn't like my hemp bag. He said it was a purse. So anyway, getting back. But Hugo is out. Go check it out. We're checking out. Something else that's out on DVD and Blu-ray is a film I actually got to see in theaters, and I compare it to really sad, desperate Jerry Lewis comedies of the late 60s.
Wow.
It's called Johnny English Reborn with Rowan Atkinson. And this is a film – this is also the sign of the universality of movies. Yes, I'm going after the xenophobes today. Is because you watch Johnny English, and I'm like, okay, for those who want a spy spoof that doesn't have Mike Myers – there's this, okay, fine. And why are they making a sequel? Well, because it did okay in the United States. It got stupid money in Europe and overseas.
Is Mr. Bean just like a superstar overseas? Is that what it is?
Well, he is English. But yes, he is.
I understand that. But.
And what's, you know what? And the thing that's frustrating about Atkinson at one time was one of the funniest guys around. If you've ever seen Blackadder or The Thin Blue Line or a stand-up act, it's great stuff. And it's, you know, because of Bean and other choices, I think, it's become a little more lower common denominator. And that's kind of frustrating because I know what he was once capable of.
But I think it shows the westernization, even in Europe, of films and stuff. They start putting him in that thing.
Yeah.
He becomes
the goofball.
The Bean machine. So
right.
We're just going to keep doing that. Like, fortunately for us, I think the Austin Powers thing came, well, a few too late, but at least it came to an end. But the Bean Machine just had to keep going, and that's what he gets recognized.
So yeah,
look, the Bean Machine cracked me up. I used to watch the show and the movie, and I enjoyed it.
Did you watch the first Johnny English?
No.
Okay.
No, because that's a sort of a different thing. But
yeah,
kind of
he
actually talk?
Yes, he actually talks to
this,
but it's kind of spy Clouseau where he thinks he's got gifts to spydom, and you know he's just
kind of like a modern day version of Naked Gun, like a modern day American version.
Only his sidekick didn't actually kill anybody.
Nordberg.
I said it.
That's fine.
He can come after me. I can get juiced. But also, so the fact that they made a sequel to this 8 years later, you know, that's quite a bit. But same thing, it didn't do well here, but it made stupid money overseas. And not even the visual presence of the visually stunning Gillian Anderson could save this film. So,
Gillian Anderson.
She's
X-Files?
Yes.
Right?
Oh, yes.
Do you like her?
She do you notice when I'm whispering? And I say, yes, yes.
Where's she been?
I think she lives in England now.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's done a bunch of...
That wouldn't surprise
no,
me.
No, Jules.
Yes, she is. That? See, Carolina knows.
She's from you, where you, I'm you, originally from, and she denounces where she's from.
You know this is fact? Do you have her number?
You want the number?
Yeah, I do.
We don't have a number. But
oh, Jesus.
Maybe there was an isolated incident. She was
fine. Give me the isolated incident. Oh, wait a minute. Somewhere,
you prefer an isolated incident.
If you can hear, Mrs. Sosie's laughing her head off. All right. All right, there's a couple of older titles we'll bring up that's out on Blu-ray. And this is where I pose the question for those who have Blu-rays is, would you buy this because it's available on Blu-ray? Now, for me, it's got to have a bunch of extra special features. You know,
these old titles?
Yes, these are old titles. Not old chicks. Kobe.
I was just looking at pictures of Ursula Andress.
From Dr. No?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell the Dr. No story in a second.
Nobody comes out of the water like Ursula Andress.
That's for sure. Fritz Lang's Scarlet Street with Edward G. Robinson. You have The Buccaneer. It's not the Doug Williams story. This is the one with Yul Brynner, Inger Stevens. Yeah, look up Inger Stevens as well. Claire Bloom and Charles Boyer. I just bought this for Mrs. Sosi. The Criterion Collection has put out Louis Malle's Vanya on 42nd Street, which is a film of actors performing Chekhov's Uncle Vanya in a dilapidated old building in New York City. And two of the actors, one of the big names at the time was Andre Gregory of My Dinner with Andre fame, a young for him, Wallace Shawn, and one of the first films of the visually stunning Julianne Moore.
Oh, okay. Yeah, buried the lead.
Just going in list order.
Okay, that's fine.
No. I've literally never heard of anything that came out of your mouth just in the
but
past
until Julianne Moore.
Until Julianne Moore. But you do make a good... Do you rebuy things that just came out on Blu-ray? I'm an Amazon addict. I peruse Amazon all day. I just bought Big Lebowski on Blu-ray because there was a bunch of...
Also with Julianne Moore.
Also with Julianne
Moore. Got to get the harness.
Right. Yes. Right. What was her name in that? What was her character?
Maud.
Maud, yeah.
Maud. She has a way of describing her paintings that we can't say here on radio. So, actually, a lot of lines we can't
that's
say.
That's a very good, that's an interesting question. Do you go back and rebuy? Because I finally stepped into 2008 and bought a Blu-ray player. So now I did go back and buy Big Lebowski, and I did that with Star Wars, too. I did that with Star Wars. I can't wait.
By that time, I think Hayden Christensen's in all of them, and he was able to digitalize Mark Hamill's acting ability a little better.
Well, I did it because I remember watching Star Wars as a kid and just being blown away by it. So I want to watch my 2-month-old when he gets old enough. We're going to sit down and watch Star Wars together, and I can't wait. I can't wait to do that. So I went back and
I want you to do me a favor.
Yeah.
I want you to, when the little one's asleep in the crib, I want you to lean in and I want you to whisper, Han shot first. Okay. And never, ever let him forget that.
Guido shot first. What are you talking about? Is that his name?
Gosh, you've become a part of it. Do you have Lucas tattooed on the back of your neck?
Not the neck. But I don't know enough. I mean, I do most of my... You know, scouring on the internet stuff, is there a place where you can get reviews of the extras? Because there are DVD extras.
Well, if you
and
go
then
to
there are like really you
yeah
yeah go to I say locally you could go to the Film Yap with Joe and Chris. You can also go to hauntedflower.com. Gina has some of those reviews that you can read as well as watch clips of her doing reviews. So those are a couple of local places that you can check that out. I believe the Independent Critic Richard Propes does that as well. So there's a few out there
that actually review the DVD
features.
Extras.
Okay. So that's worth checking out.
Yeah, that was that time Gina was reviewing Rio, and she said she'd seen all the bonus stuff, and that was how the want to party. I want a samba.
Yeah, the sound clip.
Oh, look at that.
See, he listens. He knows.
He
knows.
When your 4-year-old is sitting in his booster seat, going, "I want a party. I want a samba."
Now. Are you still looking at Ursula Andress?
No, Kobe? I'm looking at Inger Stevens.
Inger Stevens, she's quite lovely.
Yeah.
I know this sounds bad. My first cruise with my folks, we went. One of the stops was Ocho Rios, Jamaica. I was 10.
I went there for my honeymoon. Yeah,
I didn't
I've
see
been
him
there.
That's okay. did your wife come out of the water with shells?
Yeah, no, she's
she should have. Anyway, we're taking the tour, and the tour guide points out that this was the beach that Ursula Andress comes out. And by the way, if you've never seen Dr. No, do it. Or be lazy and just YouTube the clip, Kobe.
It's set the standard, and, it's set the standard for Bond girls.
Yes,
I mean,
well, a 10-year-old Matthew Soucy found out this information, ran as close to the water beach as he could, and dove landing face first. Because I know there was grains of sand that had...
there was Ursula DNA.
Somewhere.
A wash on the beach. You hugged the water.
You're darn right I did, and I'd do it again if I had the chance. Same thing. So... Yes. Thank you, Ocho Rios Jamaica and Ursula Andress. Hey, you know. Oh, wait a minute. So I can hear Mrs. Soucy patting me on the head and giving me a cookie.
Did you climb Dunn's River Falls?
I did climb the falls. Love it. Done it twice. One of the you know, I'm built like a 42-year-old designated hitter, but that, because I'm 42, but that was one of the greatest physical feats I've ever done in my life.
It's pretty dangerous. I mean, they don't make you wear helmets or anything. You're climbing up mossy waterfalls for like 300 feet in Jamaica.
Yes.
You're going to wake up in like a,
but I love that.
A mud hut.
Yeah, if you want to be a guest on Indie Style, you sign a waiver. But you want to free climb 300 feet of rocks.
Sure.
You're you know.
Hey, Tracy, I've seen you dance with Yo Gabba Gabba, so that's
hold
you do need
still
to sign.
Plex is my favorite. Oh, yeah.
Yes,
my
indeed.
My world now.
You know what, Kobe? How are we doing? Let's take a short break, and then we'll get to the guest, and they're plugging their stuff. We got some obits. We'll talk hopefully about the archives. Kobe will still bring you a disc for $5. Have you seen anything lately, Kobe, or are we not doing what is Kobe watching?
Oh, I went last weekend and saw the Dangerous Method.
Oh, the Keira Knightley spanking film.
Yes.
All right, we'll talk about that in a little bit. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Not alone.
We got guests.
You got what?
Guests. Yeah, guests. People. We've got guests coming over.
When?
Now.
Who are you?
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one.
Welcome back to Film Sociology,
yes.
Including my guests. Welcome back. I'm Matthew Soucy, hanging out. Woo, boy. Let's go around and we'll plug why we're here, among other things. Rumors at Scottish Rite Cathedral, March 9th, 10th, 16th, 2 on the 17th, 3 p.m. on Saturday the 17th, 7:30 p.m. the rest of the time. You can call 262-3100 for more information. I got Tracy Forner, co-host of Indie Style, Monday through Fridays at 9 on Wish TV.
So uncomfortably close to this location that I should have a key card for here or something.
You'd like that, wouldn't you?
I will make up for my absence.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's good to have you here.
You've been a guest as well. We've appreciated your exposure to.
I'm available next week.
All right. There's probably
you sound like me now.
There's probably an opening.
I already emailed Peggy and did the proper thing as opposed to. Well, Tracy said I could come by.
Oh, we like that.
Like when the child comes over. Why is
he sad?
Yeah, honey. Why is he here? I asked if he wanted to come over. And he said okay. Did you call his parents? No. Did you tell us? No. You've had those. It'll happen. You'll get those. Who the hell are you? Why are you here?
Do your parents know where you were
at? Yeah, exactly.
We've had a John Andretti standing outside the door, and he's not booked to be on the show. But, oh, heck, come on in. Let's talk racing.
So what's coming up? What is scheduled for this week on Indy Style? What do you got coming up with
you and Andy? God. Well, we're taking a look on Monday. This is one of those. It's a polarizing topic. Knitting.
Huh? Oh, my God. I hear the tailgating.
That was a Puss in Boots. Yeah. You just quoted a Puss in Boots.
The tailgaters, I heard they're hellacious tailgaters. They will get there about Sunday at 3 and start grilling and knitting.
But we're hopefully going to blow up the stereotype of that. So my wife is just a ferocious knitter, and she's quite good at it. And there are roller derby girls in town that are doing it. There's a knitting program on one of the DIY type channels that is co-hosted by former guitarist for the Breeders.
Ooh.
I mean, it's not just grandma making doilies. There's a movement there.
And I believe there is a knitting show on Create.
Sewing with Nancy.
Oh, see, I was right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And let's never forget, probably the best use of knitting needles, Liam Neeson in Taken.
Oh, yeah. Right into the kneecaps.
He has skills. He will find you, and he will kill you.
I'm so glad you thought of that.
And he took out the knitting needles and went after those wolves in the gray.
In the gray.
So knitting, okay. Well,
that's just one. And it's a Monday. We have a financial planner on who's young and hip and takes a lot of the boredom out of it. But honestly, I didn't look too closely at what's on next week because it's Friday, so I just sort of...
You're like a musician on tour. You come in, like, okay, what's any man? Who's on the show today?
I am the Joe Walsh of
oh, so you also
television.
you also want to stomp Don Henley's head in?
It's just like yeah, we must have done that because there's a clip of it. So it
you're actually speaking English, though. I can actually understand what you're saying as opposed to Joe Walsh.
Hey, that's New York. How you doing? So yeah, okay.
Space Age Whiskey.
And he's an ordinary average guy.
That's right. I hope that it's hard.
And we got Nigel over of Hammer and Nigel, who, by the way, I'm gonna word this properly to be diplomatic. If you go right of the dial here at WFYI, about halfway there, not living on a prayer, you could probably hear his voice on weekends.
Tomorrow, 3 to 7.
Tomorrow, 3 to 7.
But we're not going to say.
We're not going to say.
You're doing a very good job.
Yeah, I'm not going to say rhymes with EPL. No. bully for you on that.
Yeah, and then we have the show that we do at the Coach's Tavern on Thursday nights, hammerandnigel.com.
Which is a lot of fun.
The show that you were a guest on, and we did the pre-Oscar show. I'd love everybody to go back and listen to that show. We had a blast talking movies for that hour.
And you have people coming up and telling us their life story.
Yeah, it's a live show. We do it every Thursday night. We stream it live over the internet, and then we make it available for podcast. Tracy, I'd love you to come on one Thursday night if you could break away.
I'm sorry. You're going to have to wait at least 2.5 years before
that. Well, exactly.
But no.
Let's get my daughter off to college.
He's got an advantage. There's Patron accessible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. We had Jenny Onchando from Fox 59 on last night. And we had her on last night. She's got a new fitness show coming on Saturday. So, you know, we get together every Thursday night. We BS for about an hour and talk whatever, sports, local events. We have guests on. And I think it's the only podcast of its kind in Indianapolis. Streaming live from bar every Thursday over Coach's Tavern.
That's our goal. I think, Kobe, we got to hit the road next.
Yeah. We're trying
to hit one of our favorite eating establishments to do a live show there. We know the owner is up for it.
Yes.
And we're up for it. But, mm-hmm. of course, we have to talk to, you know, management.
No. Just do it and then apologize. Right?
That's right.
Hey, guys, we're going out.
Ask forgiveness later.
Yeah, exactly. For information. So, hey, Jules.
Hey, Mr. Sosie.
How you doing, love?
Keeping it real here. I've got some wonderful friends in town.
So tell us about the exhibit tonight. This is a big, big night for art.
Mosaic Styles. This sounds cool.
It's a very big night. I'm actually going to have Carolina share a little bit more because it's her daughter.
Yeah, this is my daughter.
And she has a great accent.
Oh, God, the Brazilian accent.
So do we. Brazil, Indiana. No, it's
people ask me that a lot.
No, the real one.
No, you have the real one. Don't worry about us. So tell us a little bit about the exhibit.
The mosaic thing is because It's a family of artists. It's not only my daughter. It's her father, her uncle, and her grandfather who are exposing in the same show today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everything started with the grandfather, Victor.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, she's inspired on him because he's a portrait painter. And Andy Warhol because of the pop art and modern style. So she put the two things together, and there you go.
Cool.
And he's published, right, at Heron Art School. He's in a lot of the books there here locally.
Very cool.
Isn't that correct?
Yes, he is part of the teaching in Heron, so...
Yeah, oh, okay. So that's cool. Gonna be tonight's, you know, the first Friday, and Thais, come on over. She's the star.
Oh, the quiet introverted artist. Yeah. I love them. Get over here.
Yeah. Well, Warhol, you know, was
quite
understated.
It suits her.
When it suits her? Well, not great. Not right now. Get up here, lady.
17, right? 17.
Come on over, sister. God, makes you. You know what she does, Kobe? Yeah. She makes you look old. So tell us about some of your work that's going to be on exhibit this evening.
Well, I prepared Axl Rose and John Lennon and Michael Jackson and James Dean, and they're really cool.
Okay, now, which era John Lennon? Beatles, Living with Yoko. Okay, let me go. James Dean, which film?
No, not from a film.
Oh, just a look, just a look. Now, I say, if you did a mosaic of him in East of Eden, that would be hipster impressive. I'm sure it still is nonetheless. So how long does it take you to prepare a piece?
It takes me about 2 days.
2 days?
For each painting, yeah.
Okay. A lot of grape juice and a wine glass?
No wine glass.
Oh, I'm sorry. A goblet. That's right. Because if you're going to be high art, so
no goblets.
We're gonna get you a wine goblet with Basquiat's face on it. So or Saul Bass. Do you know Saul Bass? No, that's a no. If you have to look at mom on radio, that means no, you don't.
No.
So, okay, you're going to look up. I want you. Here's your homework assignment, because I can do that. I'm Dr. Sosi.
Okay.
Saul.
The barbecue professor.
I am the barbecue professor. But that's not relevant to the show right now. With my nurse, Lynn. I want you to look up Saul Bass. I only bring this up because I was watching. Yesterday was one of my days off, and it was a half day for the child. And I was trying to find something on Blu-ray that I could watch, and she didn't necessarily have to keep following in and out of. So, what do you watch for Daddy Daughter Day? The Misfits, the final film of Marilyn Monroe, Clark Gable, and one of the last films of Montgomery Clift, directed by the great John Huston. Eli Wallach is in it, solid as usual. But the title sequence is from a gentleman named Saul Bass, who is famous for a lot of the film opening sequences in the 50s and 60s, like Anatomy of a Murder, Psycho, Man with the Golden Arm. So I want you to look him up. I'll find you. And I will quiz you. No. So,
please, yeah. Do so.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Boy, with moms like that.
Man.
Jeez. So what movies have you watched recently? Have you watched anything recently? Don't look at your... Don't look at counsel. She looks at her... I don't know.
Not
have
me
I?
Watching the movies. It's you.
Come on. What have you seen lately?
Movies about what?
Anything.
I've seen The Artist.
Yes.
Yes.
It's a great movie.
Yes, it is. Won Best Picture for a reason.
Well, my brother fell asleep, but I can watch it.
And how old's your brother?
23.
Well, there you go.
Wow.
But I loved it.
What did you love about it?
The romance. It's really cool.
Yes, it is. Cool. So what else have you watched recently?
The Descendants.
Really?
Oh. It made me cry.
Yes. I wish all screwed up dads looked like George Clooney.
They don't.
Yeah, Matthew, some of us have to be on the other end of the spectrum. There must be.
I think all mommies would like that.
Mom, I'll do it for you because I know you don't. Mom, stop talking about George Clooney that way. So, as you can tell, I was George Clooney's stunt double in Syriana.
Mr. What was his name in that? We talked about a bear or a
fat guy. Fat guy wins an Oscar.
He played a real guy. That was a real
Well, kind of
bear. What's his name in that movie?
Bear Bryant. No,
no,
I don't.
It wasn't.
No, I forget. But Siriano is one of those.
He played a real guy.
Was it a real guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, could have been. Yeah, the oil industry being corrupt. No. Nah.
I'll do some web-based research.
Oh, thank you,
please,
Kobe.
Please do
that's
that
why you're here, among others.
I think that's a movie I'm thinking about.
So, all right. So, Nigel, what have you been forced to watch every day? Because I'll tell you, when Emma was a kid, it, fortunately for me, she would alternate between two films, which we watched every day for like 6 months: Finding Nemo and Monsters Inc. Yep. And thank God neither one of them was Scooby-Doo. So very lucky about that.
They've been showing. It's funny you say that because you know there's a lot of late nights. With the infant. Yeah,
that's Connor, why God created PBS Kids Sprout.
Exactly. Well, they've been showing Usual Suspects. I'm so glad you put your Kaiser Sose drop.
I am Kaiser Sose.
In your open because I've been watching that. Just an incredible film. That's the kind of movie, anytime it's on,
absolutely,
no matter what part of the movie it's in.
A remote dropper. My dad calls that a remote dropper.
Write that one down, dear. Saul Bass and the Usual Suspects. That sounds like a 60s rock
awesome
group, but anyway.
And then there's Saul the Jeweler and
Saul the Jeweler. and Kobe, don't quote what they say in the lineup. You just can't. None of you can.
But the new one that I've seen lately, you guys should definitely check out. It's a documentary. I love rock and roll documentaries. And I saw your post earlier about how this station's doing a Rolling Stones documentary.
We just played it today about the making of Some Girls.
Watch the newest Foo Fighters documentary, Back and Forth.
Really?
It's the history of the Foo Fighters and how Dave Grohl came up through Nirvana and how the band ended up coming together. And it's an amazing. My wife even sat through it.
Oh, okay.
It's a 2-hour-long documentary, and it's
is
just,
that supposed to be a measure of something?
It is because she's usually watching, you know, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills or Orange County or Atlanta or anything on
Brownsburg.
Yeah.
But we turned on.
We have a few.
You know, I'm a huge Foo Fighters fan, and it's a great band. It's just an unbelievable documentary. So Foo Fighters Back and Forth. It's like the history and how they came to be just this huge phenomenal.
And you're making the child watch that.
Well, he's 2 months old, so he's usually either sleeping or eating, or
doing results of both.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you. That's I'll handle that.
So yeah, definitely check that out.
But the influence you have on your daughter, or maybe even vice versa, I've seen on Facebook and things the selections that you have, and I can picture you guys watching it together, and I'm trying to do that with my daughter. We're picking movies.
How to raise your hipster child?
Well,
I'll be the first to admit it.
As my daughter, she's going to be 13. I'm like, all right, I already got to drop her off a certain distance from the school, and can't be that. So I'm like, I've got to find these moments.
That day is
going to
come.
Them
yes.
Desperately. But the eclectic movies you pick, you watched an Elvis Western with your
daughter.
I watched Charo
with my daughter. Emma's an Elvis fan, but before the head gets too large for the studio, I'm reminded of the Onion article, which I'm going to paraphrase the headline, and I got more hits on Facebook about this, but cool dad introduces child to pop culture that will alienate her from her generation.
That's exactly what it is.
That's me. So, yeah, it was like, that's you. Yeah, I know.
But I'm sure you'd use it as like a teaching moment.
Oh, most definitely.
How do you explain to this generation what an Elvis was?
I had to do anatomy of a scene from a movie, Fun in Acapulco, that Elvis did with Ursula Andress, about filmmaking technique. I'm like, really? I'm breaking down a master class on an Elvis movie? And by the way, I'm still stunned that my daughter's her first films of Woody Allen and Martin Scorsese are Hugo in Midnight in Paris. And I was like, well, I got to show Emma the early funny stuff of Woody Allen. I said, Marty, maybe The Last Waltz. Or maybe Alice doesn't live here anymore. I don't think Emma's ready for Taxi Driver, Raging Bull, or The Last Temptation of Christ. Just saying.
My biggest success was my daughter's into the vampire Dracula thing stuff. I showed her
Nosferatu.
Young Frankenstein.
Oh, she loves, yes.
She goes, who is this Mel Brooks? He is hilarious.
Love that movie.
I'm like, walk away, Dad.
Now, if I could
end
just,
on a high note.
That's right.
If I could just get Mrs. Sosie to dress like Inga. Okay. don't imagine that. So, Kobe, I think we're short on time.
Yep.
Let's give these people words to live by.
Silent breed is people.
Zardoz has spoken.
All right, Nigel, quickly plug your stuff.
HammerandNigel.com.
Jewel.
Earth House Collective tonight, Thais Ariola's art exhibit.
Tracy.
Indie Style, Wish TV, weekdays at 9. I'll be seeing you, Nigel.
We'll
make something happen.
Soon, next week.
Rumor, Scottish Rite Cathedral, March 9th, 10th, 16th, and 17th, 262-3100. Let's do this again next week.
Yeah.
I'm coming. I'm inviting myself. Let's
this
do it.
This is worth getting a sitter.
Yes, it is. We have TVs for the kids. You're listening. So until next time, go see a good movie. You deserve it. See you all at Winefest. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. Win some more games, Pistons, will you please?
We gone!